Colonel Shepherd? John jumped slightly as Radek's voice barked into his ear, looking around furtively to check if anyone had seen him. Yes, Dr. Zelenka? Please come to lab immediately. Rodney, stop that! John frowned at the high-pitched command. Radek, is everything okay? There was a pause and a muffled giggle that sounded like Rodney before Radek replied, Just hurry, Colonel. John was already moving towards the nearest transporter as the radio cut off. Within minutes, he was standing outside the lab, door opening at his request, allowing Zelenka's voice to reach him. That down! He walked into the lab, curious at what could have the normally calm Czech sounding so stressed, and stopped dead, eyes widening at the tableau before him. Rodney was holding something behind his back, pouting like a recalcitrant schoolboy, and Radek was standing there looking every inch the firm, if rather short, schoolmaster. All he needed was the cane to spank Rodney with, and he was set. John paused at the thought and shook his head. If anyone here were going to spank Rodney, it was going to be him. Shaking his head again to rid it of the image of Rodney laid out over his knee, John cleared his throat. What's going on? Rodney's head snapped round to look at him. John! He called joyfully. Thrusting whatever he'd been holding at Zelenka, Rodney all but bounded over to John, grinning. Hi, John! John stared at Rodney for long moments before his gaze slid over to Zelenka. Radek? Zelenka sighed, placing the box in his hands on the bench. Do not ask me, Colonel. I leave him here to go fetch something from Lab 2, and he is fine. I come back and... He waved a hand in the still grinning Rodney's direction. John turned back to look at his lover. Rodney, have you been in Carson's good drugs again? Rodney looked at him. No, Scout's honour. John barely managed to cover the snort as the mental image of Rodney in shorts and trying to start a fire with two sticks sprang into his mind. Rodney paused thoughtfully. I did get lube from him, though. He glanced over at Zelenka quickly. I wanted the self-warming edible lube, he stage whispered in a voice that carried through the entire lab. But I think he kept it for him and Radek. Radek coughed, glaring at Rodney, who was too busy pressing himself against John to take any notice. Can we have sex now? Rodney asked plaintively. John managed to grab Rodney's hand before it reached his BDUs. As much as he would have liked to take Rodney up on his offer, he'd rather find out exactly what had happened to his lover first. No! Rodney was silent for long moments before he met John's eyes again. How about now? John ignored the question. Have you touched anything strange recently? Only Radek, Rodney answered. Does Radek count as strange? John sighed inwardly. No, Radek doesn't count as strange. Also, you'd better not let Carson hear you say that. Rodney's eyes widened. It wasn't the naughty kind of touching, he said, sounding rather affronted. I only do that with you. Glad to hear it, John murmured, pulling Rodney's questing fingers away from his trousers again. Rodney, think! What happened after Radek left you alone? Rodney tapped his fingers thoughtfully against his lips. Work? He said eventually. More work. Even more work? Oh, and then the Atlantis fairy brought me coffee. John's eyes narrowed at that. The Atlantis fairy. Rodney nodded his head vigorously. And it wasn't you, so that's something else Kavanagh's wrong about. John frowned and made a mental note to let Lorne know that a certain scientist needed to at least triple the physical training he was already doing.
Why don't you tell me about the Atlantis fairy?
John said, still half unable to believe those words had just passed his lips. I was working, replied Rodney, and there was no coffee. He looked into John's eyes earnestly. This was not good. But I carried on, disregarding the dire, coffeeless state I was in. I knocked my pen on the floor and bent down to get it, and when I stood back up, there was coffee on my desk. But there was no one else there but me. Therefore, the only logical conclusion is that the Atlantis fairy put it there. Rodney nodded to himself. John looked over at Rodney's desk, and sure enough, there were two cups sitting there. One of them was Rodney's normal cup, best scientist in the world, ever, emblazoned across it, and sitting next to it was a nondescript grey mug. John frowned a nagging thought blossoming in his head. Radek, can you pass me that mug, please? Zelenka picked up the second mug and handed it to John. Lifting it up, John's frown deepened when his suspicion was confirmed. Across the bottom of the mug was a little imprint declaring Daedalus on it. Atlantis had a fairy, all right. A little naked grey rat-like fairy. John took a sniff of the remainder of the mug's contents. It might have smelt like coffee, but John didn't trust that that was all that was in there. Come on, Rodney, he said, wrapping an arm around his scientist. Oh, are we going to have sex now? Rodney asked, his eyes lighting up with glee. Later, John promised. Right now, we're going to see Carson. And have him run tests on what's in this mug, John didn't say. Do you think he'll have any of the self-warming edible lube? Maybe the Daedalus brought some with them, Rodney smiled. Edible lube. John glanced down at Rodney as he manoeuvred them both out of the lab. I promise I'll get you all the edible lube you want, babe. But first, Carson.
Okay,
Rodney nodded as he let John lead him down the corridor. But as long as we have sex later. Back on the Daedalus, Hermiod frowned. The book had suggested a romantic dinner for two, even giving a list of Earth foods that were classed as having aphrodisiac properties. Hermiod had thought about it, but realized that getting his beloved away from that man long enough to have dinner together was going to be nearly impossible. Besides, why spend time using foods that might have that effect when the Asgard had something even better that they had confiscated from one of the annexed Gould worlds? One cup of coffee with a little extra in it, and Hermiod had been ready to go. If only the small, scruffy man hadn't come back so soon. Although, Hermiod admitted to himself as the camera tracked that man leading his giggling beloved down Atlantis's corridors, the properties of the Athala route hadn't been exactly what he'd been expecting. Maybe it was his beloved's ATA gene. Maybe it was the fact that the vials had sat in Thor's laboratory for a few years. Either way, Hermiod now had more data to work with. Given time, he could perfect the formula, and then he could try again. Need you, want you. The mantra fell from Rodney's lips as he pulled at John's clothes, the door to Rodney's quarters closing behind them. John grinned as he wrapped his fingers around Rodney's wrists and spun them around, pressing Rodney against the wall with his hands above his head. John! Rodney tried to pull his hands away, but John just tightened his grip. He loved having Rodney against him, all wanting and needy. Lowering his head, he swiped his tongue along Rodney's neck, reveling in the full body shudder that ran through his lover at the touch. John, let me go! Rodney pleaded, pushing against John's leg. Why should I? John asked lightly, thumb caressing Rodney's palm. Rodney leaned forward and captured John's lower lip between his teeth, sucking it into his mouth and running his tongue along it before releasing it and moving back. Because if you do, I'll do that to an entirely different part of your body. John felt heat rush through him at Rodney's words, dragged his lover away from the wall and towards the bed. Pressing their lips together, John dropped back onto the bed, pulling Rodney with him. John's screech, as several sharp things embedded themselves into him, was almost drowned out by the yowl coming from underneath him. Almost. Rodney yelped as he landed on the floor, John having pushed him off the bed in his haste to get away from the sharp pain in his ass. What the hell was that? John growled, fingers prodding at his ash cheeks to see what the damage was. Rodney's voice stopped suddenly as he looked at the bed. Dalek? John followed Rodney's gaze, eyes widening at the malevolent ball of fluff that was staring back at him and hissing. Rodney, he said, rather surprised to find his voice was coming out a lot more calmly than he felt. Why is there a cat on the bed? Rodney didn't answer as he pushed himself to his feet. Dalek, is that really you? The cat stopped hissing as it turned to look at Rodney. Meow. Rodney crossed the distance to the bed in two strides, scooping the cat up in his arms and rubbing his cheek against its fur. The cat settled down instantly and started purring. Rodney? John stared at the very obviously from Earth cat that was being held by Rodney in his very obviously not on Earth quarters. Rodney looked up, his fingers never once stopping scratching the cat behind its ears. "I don't know how, John, but this is Dalek, my cat," he added. "John, meet Dalek. Dalek, meet John." Rodney grinned as he glanced down at the animal he was holding. "He kept me warm when you couldn't," he murmured at the cat, eyes shining with delight when he looked back up at John. John took a step closer to Rodney, holding his hand out for the cat, for Dalek, to sniff. When no objection was forthcoming, John's fingers joined Rodney's in stroking behind Dalek's ears. The purring increased in volume. "He likes you," smiled Rodney. "Like his owner, he has good taste," John replied. "Although, unlike his owner, as far as I know, he wasn't on the expedition manifest, not unless you've been hiding him in your sock drawer for the past year." Rodney snorted. "Hardly. I tried to bring him as my personal item, but they objected on the flimsy grounds of the unknowns of introducing a non-native animal into the Pegasus ecosystem." He rolled his eyes. "I mean, it's not as if he hadn't had his shots." "And now he's here," John said, his fingers stopping scratching until Dalek headbutted him in the hand to make him start again. Now he was here on the same day as the Daedalus had arrived. John frowned. He thought the cats were supposed to go after the rats, not the other way around. Rodney's hold on Dalek tightened. "He can't go back." "Rodney?" "Look, John, he crossed a galaxy to get here. It's the stuff Disney movies are made of." At least it would be if this wasn't classified and Disney wasn't actually a front for the American government to control its citizens through subliminal messages. John shut Rodney up by kissing him as Dalek purred happily between them. They'd have to get Dalek checked out by one of the zoologists before anything else, and John pulled back from the kiss. "Rodney?" "Yeah?" "Where are we going to find kitty litter in Atlantis?" Back on the Daedalus, Hermiod looked at the long scratches running down his arm. The small endothermic quadruped he'd retrieved for his beloved had not been the most cooperative of things when Hermiod had gone to get it. Between that and the shrieking woman who had walked in when he was attempting to wrestle the beast into the stasis cage it would be transported in on the Daedalus, Hermiod hadn't been entirely sure that his course of action was the right one. However, seeing the look on his beloved's face when he'd seen the feline more than made up for any injury Hermiod had received. Even seeing his beloved in the arms of that man wasn't enough to dampen the joy Hermiod felt when he thought of his beloved's smile. Hermiod hummed happily to himself and mentally ticked, "Give them their heart's desire," as a roaring or meowing success.